And I saw him on the way in. We're friends, incidentally. I saw him on the way in. I said, I'm supposed to introduce you, what you want me to say. He said, say what you want, just don't get up and make a speech. We friends. So he can tell me that. But there are a couple of things I need to tell you about our speaker, Reverend Dr. William B. McLean. Earned the Bachelor of Arts degree in English Literature and Religion and Philosophy at Clark Atlanta University in Atlanta, Georgia. His master's and doctoral degrees were earned at Boston University with a concentration in systematic theology and preaching. He conceived of and chaired the committee which produced the Songs of Zion, in which he wrote a good deal of the historical material on African-American spirituals and gospel songs. Now, Songs of Zion has sold more than 1.5 million copies across the world and has changed the composition of Christian hymnals of every denomination. He's written at least 7 books that I know of. And in 1978, Dr. McLean established the Multi-Ethnic Center for Ministry at Drew University in Madison, New Jersey. In 1991, his Clark Atlanta alma mater awarded him the Doctor of Divinity degree in recognition of his achievements in religion and civil rights. He was named to the Mary Elizabeth McGee Joyce Chair in Preaching and Worship at Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C. in early 1999. Where he has taught preaching and worship for the past 23 years. Professor McLean met Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in Montgomery, Alabama, where Dr. King was the pastor of Dexter Avenue Baptist Church, and he was a teenage preacher in his hometown of Gadsden, Alabama. After completing his seminary degree at Boston University, where Dr. King also received his doctorate, he returned to Alabama in 1962 to work with Dr. King and the Civil Rights Movement. He served as pastor of Haven Chapel Methodist Church in Anniston, Alabama, where he remained until returning to graduate school at Boston University. From 1968 to 1978, Dr. McLean served as senior pastor of the historic Union United Methodist Church in Boston. While there, the congregation more than doubled in size and more than 400 persons were baptized. Called on frequently to lecture and preach in major pulpits and universities throughout the country and abroad, he's preached in Africa, Asia, the West Indies, New Zealand, and Europe. In the fall of 2001, in addition to teaching at Wesley Theological Seminary, Dr. McLean was appointed senior pastor of the historic Tindley Temple United Methodist Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where he is an active community pastor. He's the father of 2 sons, William Bobby McLean Jr. of California and Dr. Wilson McLean of New York City. He and his wife, the former Joanne Matos, make their home in Fort Washington, Prince George's County, Maryland, as well as locally in South Philadelphia. In the program, it's listed that he's to give the keynote address this afternoon and for this meeting. He is a man of God called by God to preach the word of God. Now it says a keynote address. He's a gospel preacher. And I come from Orangeburg, South Carolina, where he's been a time or two. And there we say, if the church will pray,
that's right. That's
the preacher will preach.
Right.
Reverend Dr. William B. McLean.
Could we just stand up for a moment? Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. Praise
ye the Lord,
hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah.
Praise ye
the Lord.
Thank you. In February of 1968 in Cincinnati, Ohio, at Calvary United Methodist, no, it wasn't United then, Calvary Methodist Church, there gathered a people who came as Negro Methodists. They came seeking change and integration and redress and attention. They stayed 4 days. And they left black. No longer would the nomenclature of Negro Methodists ever fit the people who came to Cincinnati anymore. They left changed. They left as black Methodists. There were some names associated with that meeting. People who got identified with black Methodists that we don't talk about much. Stokely Carmichael was there because he was a Methodist. James Farmer was there because he's a Methodist. He was head of core, but he was Methodist. He's a Methodist preacher. Ron Karinga was there. Y'all know who he is? The fellow who started this Kwanzaa business? He was there. He's a Methodist. They were all there at Calvary Church in Cincinnati. Some of those who came to Cincinnati came under the threat of being moved, of being reassigned from Charm Methodist to Chidlinswitch. Some came under the threat. And some people who came to Cincinnati paid dearly. Some losing their jobs. just because they came to BMCR. Some came to BMCR in Cincinnati in 1968 asking that their names not be listed. Because they didn't want to be associated or it to appear that they had identified with these radical people who've gathered in Cincinnati to destroy the church. Some said, don't put my name down because I don't want to be messing around with our relationship with our white brothers. Brothers, not sisters. Some people came to Cincinnati. I was there. I know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
Some people came to Cincinnati and checked into the hotel and stood outside watching to see who was coming and going into the meeting. We've heard that before.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We've seen this kind of behavior before.
Yes, sir.
And so they thought that their secret and their information could go back to the boss and raise their status.
Yes, sir.
Or maybe the overseer would see that they got a different job. There were others who came to Cincinnati with fear and trembling, but whose hearts had been strangely warmed by a Wesleyan understanding of the threefold nature of grace. And so they would not be denied their own rights and their own identity.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Many of those who came are now gone. I went back and looked up the old first board of directors. More than half of the original board of directors of BMCR are gone. There are so many of you here today who know not their names. George Uten, William Curtis Dobbins, Sr., Harold Bell, Robert Palmer, Marie McFarlane, Bill Jason, and we could go on and on with the list of those who are gone. I call their names now because you ought to know their names. For in a real sense, they are invisible onlookers. They are the crowd of witnesses as we gather here at this meeting, and their work needs to be perfected in us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Their faith ought to be perfected in us, for they died without receiving the promise. They made their sacrifices, but they died without receiving the promise. And so for me, as we gather here in Atlantic City, they are here for me. This week, for they are the saints in my balcony. They are the angels in my attic.
Yes, sir.
I want to say a word. My student already said the word. Our president. He gave the keynote address. He keynoted it. And I give him credit. Hey, I'm just Juliet McLean Hart's little brother, Alfred. More seriously, I am honored and humbled by this invitation. There are some saints in my balcony and angels in my attic who joined me in acknowledging this honor. I think I can now just go on and be blessed and get my reward and meet those Methodist saints up there. I want to thank Mrs. Brenda Mims Wilson, a staunch and longtime worker from Taylor. Jones across town, isn't it? Taylor United Methodist Church, Oakland, California. She has not let up on me and has stayed behind me. And Vincent Harris, our president, my former student. I thank you for this invitation. And let me say, I'm not running for anything. And even if I were elected, I would not serve. We need new and younger and vigorous leadership. Not because they're young and vigorous, but hopefully they will have a vision. BMCR does not need the fashion and the foolishness of all vogue on the outside and all vague on the inside. All vogue on the outside, all vague on the inside. The church and our communities are aching and crying for pastors who care, not just who dress well, but who care. Our churches are crying and screaming and aching for pastors who can be there where the hurt and the pain are. Not just the showboating. The Sunday morning show. The sermonettes. Making Christianettes. The church is hurting because we have trivialized the gospel of Jesus Christ. Trivialized. And that's the worst thing you can do, to trivialize the gospel. Folk running around talking about, oh, I'm preaching the full gospel. What in the world is that? And most of the time, those who declare that they're preaching the full gospel is full of. What the church needs is not the full gospel. We need the whole counsel of God. Cheap grace is still cheap grace. Salvation at Philemon's basement bargain prices. Our churches are asking us to be pastors who care. To get out of ourselves and to become concerned about the hearts and the souls and the pains and the problems of our people. And no amount of vestments and all that other stuff can take care of the problem. If you don't really care about the people, it doesn't matter what you wear in the pulpit. Now that's my word. I've attended every national BMCR since our beginning at Cincinnati in 1968, except two. Those two have been in the last 5 years. Long before we had any programs for youth, when I was a pastor, I flew 30 of our kids out to Los Angeles. From Boston to Los Angeles to BMCR. I wanted our young people to see what black Methodists look like. I wanted them to see black Methodists at work. Clayton Hammond and John Coleman will remember that I brought two busloads of kids from Union Church down to Wilmington long before there was a combination of Ezion Mount Carmel. It was Ezion. John Coleman was the pastor. Two busloads of kids I brought down to Wilmington, the Black Methodist for Church Renewal. Long before we had any youth programs, we didn't have anything for them to do, but I wanted them to see what Black Methodists looked like. Yes, sir. I'm scared now. I'm scared. I go around to our churches. And Brenda, there's no young people in our churches. Very few young people in our churches. And we don't talk to them about the Lord. We try to find everything else we can bring up as the subject instead of talking to them about the Lord. And they go elsewhere. Elsewhere. This old body of mine is beginning to wear out now. I've been preaching 52 years. This April, 52 years I've been preaching in the United Methodist Church. I've been a member of every body of that the Methodist Church has had, except the Southern Methodists. Been a member of every single body that the Methodist Church has had, except the Southern Methodists. Bishop Stith, you understand that, don't you? He and I go way back as boys. I served as the first chair of the first finance committee of National BMCR. And a name almost forgotten and long lost, but still dear to my heart and very fondly remembered, C. Jasper Smith. South Carolina. Jasper served as the first chair of the personnel committee of this board. We tried to keep some tabs on now Dr. Cain Hope Felder, our first executive director. In those days of black power and black pride and black consciousness, it was hard. Ask Luther Felder. Ask Luther Felder. He'll remember. I say now because Cain was just getting out of Union Seminary in New York. Cain had grown up in Church of All Nations, United Methodist Church in Boston. And let me tell you a little bit more about him. Evans Crawford baptized Cain. I'm just calling names so you know who the name. Nigel Riley taught him in Sunday school. Jonathan Jackson was a Sunday school superintendent at Church of All Nations. And my old roommate, Dr. John Diamond, taught Sunday school over at Church of All Nations. Cain had led the lock-in at the old board of missions at Riverside Drive. He had teamed up with the black Methodist radicals from the East Coast and Chicago. And they had a link to the West Coast through Walter Bremon, a name out of the past, and Cecil Williams. Now, what in the world did you expect? But Cain will be here, and he can speak for himself later. I have a prepared text here, but I don't think I'm going to do all of this. I think what I will do is I'm going to give the national office the copy. And I'll let you read it. Let me just say couple of other things and then I'll be through. One of the things we need to be clear about people, black people, black Methodists, is there has never, ever been a Methodist church that did not have black people in it. I'm going to say that clearly because you need to understand that. You don't have to apologize to anybody about being in this church. We were here from the beginning. When that little society got together at Sam's Creek in Frederick County, Maryland, there wasn't but five of them. Sam's Creek, Frederick County, Maryland, wasn't but five of them, but one of them was black. Her name was Ann Sweetser. Now it's spelled S-W-E-I-T-Z-E-R, but it's pronounced Sweetser. Ann was there when they met the first time. 2 years later, at John Street, New York, when they met at Barbara Heck's house, who was the cousin to Webb from Ireland, Strawbridge was at Frederick County. Barbara Heck's house is where they met. Black woman was there too. Betty was there. When they took the offering, Betty put her money in. When they built the first log cabin church in New York, the black folk who were members of the John Street Society helped pay for building that church. Don't you apologize to anybody. If anybody asks you who I am, if anybody asks you who I am, you tell them, I'm a Methodist. I'm a black Methodist. And I've been in the church ever since there's been a church. I do not apologize to anyone for being a Methodist. Now, I keep moving around the country, Bishop Alfred Norris, and Bishop Jordan, and I hear us trying to call ourselves something else. I'm a Methodist Pentecostal. I'm not a Pentecostalist. I'm a Methodist. I hear the preachers having to put Method Pentecostal, no. Method Baptist, no. The Holiness folks left. They left. The Church of the Nazarene folk, they left. The Assembly of God folk, they left. We stayed. If I wanted to be a Pentecostal, I'd have gone on with them. If I wanted to be a Holiness, I'd go on with them. I don't have to apologize to anybody. I'm a Methodist. I believe in the threefold nature of grace, prevenient, justifying, sanctifying grace. That's good enough for me. We don't have to apologize. When the first general conference met, Love the Lane Chapel, mm-hmm. 1784, old Black Harry Hoosier was there. Richard Allen was there too. And you know what Richard said? Even after Richard left, they asked Richard, "Richard, we got this Free African Society here, and the Episcopalians are willing to give us a church and let us be a..." He said, "Oh no, I'm a Methodist," he said. "It is from the Methodist preacher that I heard the gospel, and I can't be anything but a Methodist." Richard Allen. That's why you got the African Methodist Episcopal Church. They went to, Absalom Jones agreed to head the Episcopal Church and establish St. Thomas in Philadelphia as the first Black Episcopal Church, but Richard wouldn't go that way. He thanked them. And he took his little blacksmith shop and started him a church, a Methodist church. We were there when the church was organized. BMCR needs to tell the story, and our people need to understand that you can hold your head up. You don't have to go around here with your head down. This is your church. The choice to leave is one choice. The choice to stay is also a choice. And some of us said, "We'll stay here. This is home for us. This is our church. We'll stay." Part of the role of BMCR is to continue to be the gadfly. Continue to be the gadfly. Nobody objects these days to coming to BMCR, do they? Huh? What's wrong? Have we become so neutralized? Have we become so compromised that we don't have another word, a prophetic word for the church and the world? BMCR needs to recover its raison d'etre. It's reason for being. Can't do that trivializing the gospel. Somebody said to John Wesley, you know, he's born 300 years. This is the 300th anniversary of his birth. Somebody said to Wesley, near the close of his life, that they were afraid that the Methodist Church was going to go out of existence. Wesley said, "No, I'm not afraid that the Methodist Church is going to go out of existence. It's going to keep on going. My fear is that it will become irrelevant." My fear is that it will become irrelevant. That's my fear of about BMCR. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. that we lose our raison d'etre, our reason for being, that we no longer have sharpness, that we no longer speak the truth, the prophetic truth in love. One of the things I hope will happen in BMCR is that we will learn how to say to each other, in each other's presence, what we say about each other in each other's absence. Let me say that again. That we'll learn to say to each other, in each other's presence, what we say about each other in each other's absence. That we'll learn to speak the truth in love. And you know, I always liked the old invitation to the communion table. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins. And what in love and charity with your neighbor? Part of the problem is we're not in love and charity with our neighbor. And so we eat the communion to our own detriment. My old dean at Boston University used to say that there's more communion and fellowship at the neighborhood bar than there is at the Lord's table. Part of the reason for that is we're not in love and charity with our neighbors, and we don't intend to lead a new life. The church can be renewed. The church can be renewed. But it will not be renewed if you separate the gospel from social action. The church will not be renewed if you separate the gospel from social action. Too many of us are willing to follow white fundamentalists. And white evangelicals and we don't know or don't understand that we're swallowing a political agenda. And that agenda does not have the concern of our people on it. We don't need white fundamentalism or any other kind of fundamentalism. There's enough in prevenient, justifying, sanctifying grace to keep preaching the rest of your lives. You don't have to borrow.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't have to drink from that well. Don't you know it's polluted?
Yeah.
Don't drink from polluted wells and polluted water.
Yes.
There's some fresh. Some fresh spring water